sweet. And how, what a great message did Meg deliver last night. Yeah, yeah. I'll do this one. I'm a little taller. All right, so I'm really excited to be with y'all today. As Meg said, I flew from Nashville yesterday, and I'm really excited about what I want to talk to you guys about today, because it's something that God has been working on in my life for about the past year. And I'm always really impressed with like Pastor Mike and Meg and people that get up every week and speak like week after week, because I know it, when I go to speak or think about something, it's something that God's been working on in me for a really long time. So I'm really excited what I'm going to talk to you about. But I need to let y'all know, it might make you a little uncomfortable. It makes me a little uncomfortable, because today I want to talk to you about vulnerability. Now, before you inwardly start groaning and being like, oh gosh, no, I don't want to be vulnerable. You don't know me. I got some messy stuff in my life. I don't want to tell anybody about it. We're not going to talk about vulnerability. Let me just let you know where we're going. So first, I want to talk about what do I mean by vulnerability. And then I want to talk about some reasons why we should be vulnerable. And so to get us started, I'm going to go ahead and be a little vulnerable myself. And I feel like even more embarrassed sharing this, because Meg showed that video last night of the girl who was like super proud of her gray hair. But I have to tell y'all that like this week I like called the hair salon. I was like, listen, I'm going to Charleston. I'm going to speak on a stage to a group of women. So like, you have to squeeze me in. Like, you have to color my roots. And I've been thinking about what am I going to wear for like literally the last month. So there's just some vulnerability to get us started this morning. Thank you for laughing. God, y'all don't know that my mom is sitting at this table right now, and she's my biggest cheerleader. So this is like such a happy thing for me. So there's just a little taste of vulnerability to get us started. So I first started really getting interested in vulnerability when I heard some TED Talks, actually, by this woman named Brené Brown, and she's a researcher, and she researches shame, actually. Now, before you get worried, I'm not going to go all grad school on you, but basically, her research has shown her that the opposite of shame is worthiness, and that the way to get there is through vulnerability. And so it's this basic idea of wanting to be fully loved because we are fully known. And so we already know that God fully knows and fully loves us. But what does this mean for our relationship with other people? And specifically, what does this mean for our relationship with other women? And so, again, I know what you may be thinking. My life is messy, or I have these broken areas in my life, and when I feel lonely, and I certainly don't want to tell anyone about it. That's exactly what I'm asking us to do. But more importantly, I think it's what God is calling us to do. And so if you think about what Jesus did after he was crucified, when he first appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, what does he do? He pulls out his hands and he shows them his scars. And I think this image has really strong implications for us as Christians and as women. Because if Jesus showed people his scars, shouldn't we? But what does this look like for us? What does showing our scars look like for us? And I think it looks like recognizing those places in our life that are hard for us, and then using those to reach out to those around us. So let me give you an example from my own life. So Meg just told y'all, I'm 30. I'm also going to tell you, I'm single. And sometimes that's really, really fun. And then sometimes that's really, really hard. And so not too long ago, I was going to hang out with some of my friends in Greenville, South Carolina, great friends, and they all happen to be married. And so we go there, we have a good time, but when I'm leaving, when I'm driving back home, I am feeling super down and super left out, not because anything they did, just because I'm having all these thoughts in my head like, gosh, they just must think I don't understand their lives anymore because I'm not married. They probably think I can't be that good of a friend to them because I don't understand the life stage that they're going through and I can't relate. And so I call another friend on my drive home, and she really challenged me, and she said, how can you use, and how can God use this time in your life and use this singleness and even this loneliness to be an even better friend in some ways than if you were married? And so I thought about this, and I was like, well, if I'm lonely, I wonder if anyone else is feeling that way too. And specifically, I wonder if any of those friends I just left might also be feeling lonely. And I thought about one of those friends had been trying to get pregnant for over a year and still hadn't been able to. And so I was wondering, you know, she's married, but she has this other area in her life. And I wonder if she's feeling lonely about that. So I reach out to her and I say, hey, I don't know if you're feeling lonely, but just in case you are, I wanted to say, I see you and you're not alone. And she responded and she was like, yeah, how did you know? I was feeling so lonely all weekend long. In fact, I even cried on the way to hang out with y'all. And then I realized that if I recognize and I'm honest and vulnerable about my own loneliness, then that can start to be redeemed. And I think it's the same for all of us here. Even if we cannot relate exactly to what someone else is going, we can speak to certain parts of the experience, even if we can't relate exactly to what they're going through. So the woman in the room struggling to get pregnant can say to the woman who feels distant from her husband, I see you. You're not alone. And the woman who hates her job can say to the woman who just had a miscarriage, I see you. You're not alone. And the woman who had a divorce can say to the woman whose kids are really messing up right now, I see you. You're not alone. And dare I say, the stay-at-home mom can say to the working mom, I see you. And the working mom can say to the stay-at-home mom, I see you too. So I'm going to have a brief interlude here. Disclaimer, I'm not a mom. I'm going to try to speak to moms right now. If you're a mom, you can totally discount everything I'm saying. But I think I have maybe a little bit of an outside perspective from what I've witnessed a lot of my friends who are moms go through. And one of those things is that moms experience so much shame and so much guilt, and they're always feeling like other moms are judging them for the choices that they're making and for having different parenting choices. And I know all of you moms are just doing the best that you can, and that being a mom is beautiful, but it's also really, really hard. And I wish as moms, you could just look at each other and say, hey, I'm having a hard time. And the other mom would say back, hey, I'm having a hard time, but you know what? You're doing a great job, exactly the way you're doing it. And the mom would say the same thing back to her. You're doing a great job, exactly the way you're doing it. And how much of the weight of a mom could be lifted if that was shared? So that's just my two cents, mostly because I hope that's what people say to me when I do become a mom, so I'm just sowing it forward. So I want to throw up this image of a castle now. Because, castle, yeah, thank you. So it's really beautiful, right? But I think sometimes when we don't practice vulnerability, it's like we live in this beautiful castle. But you know what? No one can share in that. You see this castle, it's up in a mountain, it's really barricaded. It's really difficult to access. And if I'm in my castle, I'm closed off, and no one can get to me. And I don't think that's what God calls us to. I may feel safe, but I think God calls us to let people in and to share ourselves with others. And so we can start to do this in really small ways. And one of the ways in which I've been challenging myself with this lately is if I think something positive, I have to say it. Whereas maybe previously I was afraid of like, oh, are they going to think I'm weird if I'm like, hey, like, I think you're awesome. Or if I'm texting people things, they're going to be like, why is she saying all this to me? She's weird. But I'm like, no, if you think something positive, you have to say it. And so I've been practicing that lately, and I've been really fortunate because I've gotten some amazing affirmation about it. And so one night in church, I'm sitting next to this girl, and I had just met her like 2 weeks before, and we're sitting in church, and she starts crying. And so I'm like in my seat like, like, should I rub her shoulder? Is she going to like think that's awkward? Like, I don't know her. Like, what? But I'm like, no, you have a rule. Like, if you think something, you have to do it. So I just like, after about like 2 minutes of debating, I like reach over and I'm lightly rub her shoulder. And that was that. But then the next week, she comes running up to me and she's like, hey, I've been meaning to tell you, I've been meaning to thank you for rubbing my shoulder in church last week. Because right before that, I was praying and I was talking to God, and we haven't always had the best relationship, me and God. And so I was like praying and I was had some hard stuff happening and I was asking him for a sign. And right then, you reached over and you rubbed my shoulder. And so I can't tell you that every time you practice vulnerability, that's going to happen. But I can promise you, if you don't practice vulnerability, that's not going to happen. So definitely you can be vulnerable in some small ways like that. And also, a little bit of vulnerability can have some big payoffs. So this fall, I liked this guy. And I started telling this part of the story to my mom, and she starts like laughing hysterically. And I'm like, Mom, this is not funny. But so I like this guy, which is like kind of a big deal because some people think I'm a little bit picky. And so, Rachel King, I'm looking at you. So I like this guy, and he doesn't like me back. And that's a minor thing. Like, everyone goes through that in life, right? That's kind of a rite of passage. But it, for me, it's kind of, I kind of spiraled to this, like, life's not fair. Like, when's it going to be my turn? And so it ends up being somewhat painful. And so, but I'm practicing this vulnerability thing. So I'm like, oh, like, I'm going to tell people about this. And if you don't know me, like, first of all, I'm not going to tell people I like somebody unless I already know they like me back. And I'm definitely not going to tell somebody if it doesn't work out, because I'm more like to give off this appearance of like, oh yeah, I have it all together. But I'm like, no, like, you're intentionally practicing vulnerability. So I'm like, So I go about like intentionally sharing this story with some friends. And so, and it's had just really beautiful results with all of my friends who are Christians, but especially with my friends who are not Christians. And so I tell my non-Christian college roommate about this, and you know what? She starts calling and texting me all the time, telling me about all these things that are going on in her life. And previously, she wouldn't have done that. I think maybe she thought that I was gonna judge her, but me being open and vulnerable with her, it's like it opened the floodgates and allowed the opportunity for me to speak into her life. And then I tell another non-Christian friend about this guy and this experience. And a few weeks later, she's like, hey, can I talk to you? And I'm like, sure, absolutely. And she ends up telling me that she had recently been assaulted. And I was the second person that she had told. And I can guarantee you that if I wouldn't have first been vulnerable with her, even with this little thing, that she wouldn't have been vulnerable with me, because I think vulnerability begets vulnerability. And so, I'm not gonna lie, being vulnerable is not always easy. Brené Brown, who I mentioned at the beginning, she has this thing she calls a vulnerability hangover, which is like after you share something with someone, then the next day you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that out loud. I told somebody my business. And you like feel really anxious about it. She said, actually, after she gave her TED talk the next morning, she was like, they videoed that. Like, can I break into the office and steal the videotape? And so let's hope I don't wake up tomorrow morning with too big of a vulnerability hangover after this talk. And I want to caveat a few more things here. First, when I talk about vulnerability, I do not mean Facebook post. Do not go home and say, Sarah told me to be vulnerable, so I'm going to write this epic 2-page-long Facebook post. That's called oversharing. It's not called vulnerability. If you've done it before, there's grace for that. Oh. So, but what I mean by being vulnerable, I think we can look to Jesus for an example of that. And when he shows up, right, and he shows people his scars, he showed up to 11 of his disciples, his close friends. He was vulnerable with his close friends. He didn't, like, show up in a crowd and be like, hey, world, here I am. Here's my scars. Not that. And so when we're vulnerable, we need to do it kind of on a smaller scale with a select group of people and people that we trust. So the other lesson that I think that we can take from Jesus is he told the disciples that he had been doing life with for 3 years. So I'm definitely not asking you to share things with people that you can't trust. So like if you have a friend that you know like tells people secrets, dude, don't tell her. Or like if you hear one of your friends like talking about other people, don't tell that friend. But I think that we do have people in our lives, or we can work toward having people in our lives that we can share things with. Because I think there's a lot of us in this room that have friends and we still aren't vulnerable with them. Or we share like our token things. You know what I mean? Like these are like the parts of myself, like on this part that I share. And I'm like, oh yeah, I went through that. And like there's the other things that you're going through, maybe the things that you're going through currently, and those are the things you don't share. So sometimes you're like, oh, like, well, 2 years ago, and that's a good thing to share, but like also vulnerable with the things that are happening now, I think is really important. And so I want to go back to this image of the castle, Because when I first thought about vulnerability as a castle, I thought of it as us being inaccessible to others, right? So like people can't get in. But as I kept looking at the castle, it also struck me that people can't get in, but we can't get out, right? And so it reminds me a little bit of what Miss Deborah shared last night, and she was saying like she really felt like she had to like share the word, share the thing that she was struggling with. And so I think when we're in our castles that we're stuck in there and it's really lonely. And I think that when we let people in, we're a little less lonely. So vulnerability benefits others, right, when we let them in. But it also benefits ourselves. So when we make ourselves more accessible for others, we receive comfort. And I titled this message or this talk, The Power of Me Too, because I think those words have such healing power for the receiver, but also for the giver. What if instead of this castle, we had this next castle instead? Yeah. So it's still beautiful. It's still not completely accessible. It has this moat. It's not about to be overwhelmed or overrun, but it has this drawbridge. So like other people can come visit. We can leave and go visit other people. And I know we're at a church retreat, so I'm like, I have to find a Bible verse that talks about vulnerability. Like I felt like, you know, I talked about Jesus and his scars, and I feel like it really resonates with the whole message and what God's asking us to do, but like I have to find a Bible verse or else it's not spiritual enough. And so I'm like looking, and I'm like, oh, the word vulnerable or vulnerability is not in, that specific word is not in the Bible. So then I start looking up synonyms. But then I have this aha moment when I'm like, oh, I know why there's not necessarily a verse containing specifically the word vulnerability. And it's because the entire Bible is actually an illustration of vulnerability. And you think about it. You've heard these stories about how we should recognize the power of God to use our stories and use us despite our mistakes and brokenness, because look at the people God used. Moses killed somebody and then ran away. David was an adulterer. Peter denied Jesus. But you know, the only reason that we have these stories and the only reason that we know that God can use people like that is because those people told their stories, right? And so they're actually telling us about these messy and these broken and these lonely parts of their lives. They were vulnerable. So David is telling us, if you read the Psalms, he's telling us all the time about how lonely he is and how lonely he feels. And Paul's telling the story about he actually killed a lot of Christians before he became one. And Esther's telling us, well, I didn't really have the guts to tell the king to save my people the first time, so I had to go back again, and then I had to go back again. And their stories wouldn't be powerful unless they included the parts that were messy and broken and hard. And they wouldn't be powerful unless they decided to tell us them. So the whole Bible is really a giant me too. And so let's allow God to redeem the hard parts of our lives by sharing them with others. And God can then start to heal our lives and heal the lives of those who hear our stories. And we can all start to feel a little less lonely through the power of Me Too. Now let's hope my vulnerability hangover is not too bad tomorrow morning. Thanks very much.